Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Ruined, a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for you.
I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And we're at it again.
Hallie, if people are watching this on video, they can see that you're positioned differently in front of your camera. What's going on?
Normally, I look normally like I'm you're standing like really, up.
Yeah, normally it looks like you're at like a treadmill desk. Or like on a treadmill with a regular desk. And now it looks like you're underground.
I am having just moved earlier today because I loved to record this on a day I've moved. That's true. It has been a year, but it seems like it's every day. And our first live show, I think, was the day last time I moved, last August.
Yes.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I'm not sitting on a chair. I'm sitting on a big pile of laundry because the chairs are in the back of the moving van. So, literally they're just moving, right now, but hey, what can you do? I'm not enjoying it.
No, it seems fine.
Allison, how you doing? You look like you're sitting pretty.
I'm sitting in a chair, so I've got a leg up on you.
There you have it.
News of the world. Sitting in a chair.
Living a lap of luxury compared to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the lap of laundry.
Okay. I am enjoying a delicious, and this is if anyone cares to sponsor, I'm drinking a Dr. Pepper and cream soda zero sugar. And you're like, that sounds disgusting. And it is, but in a delicious way.
Yeah. Cream soda used to be like a real treat that like as a kid, I remember getting like, soda was like very much allowed in our house. We were a soda house. We had soda. I'm still a soda person. I love a soda apartment.
The truth comes out.
I love Diet Coke. But when I was younger, I liked, you know, regular Coke and Sprite and like here and there as like a treat. Cream soda would kind of show up and that would be like. Which is so funny to think about now because, like, vanilla sodas. But it's just like, what am I drinking?
I mean, cream soda, it crushes. Incredible.
It's so good.
I believe it's Eagle Rock. There is, like, a weird soda store. I have not been there, but apparently it has, like, any kind of soda you want.
Yes.
And I do want to see have my eyes opened. And I was recently, like, hanging out with Dave's son. And I'll tell you, the allure of a root beer to a pre-school-age child.
I bet.
I was like, that's so interesting because I remember loving root beer as a kid, too. It's like, oh, right, of course, it's non-caffeinated. That's why we were drinking, you know, orange soda, grape soda, root beer, cream soda. None of them are caffeinated, so a child could actually drink them.
Yes, I see. I did not love root beer growing up. I loved regular Coke.
Would you drink a root beer now, or are you?
No, it's not. Okay. I don't love super sweet beverages in general.
And it really is.
Like, I don't put sugar in my coffee. Diet Coke is not sweet. It's chemicals.
No,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's acidic or basic. I don't know.
It's dissolving our teeth, if that's what we're talking about.
Yes, that's what it's doing. But, you know, even cocktails, I'm not like a sweet juice cocktail.
And there should be more savory cocktails. I will say, recently I had a Bloody Mary. I'm not a Bloody Mary person, but I don't necessarily want a super sweet drink, so I think having a
like
fun
I don't want
cocktail.
A mimosa. Ever.
No, I'm not at this point.
No,
I want a glass of champagne. Yeah, with a drop of orange juice in it. I enjoy that.
No, I love I want a glass of orange juice and a glass of champagne that I will consume separately.
I agree. Like, the idea of, like, boozy shakes, it's like, well, that's a trip to Diarrheaville, if I've ever heard one. Or I could have a delicious milkshake and then separately later have a drink and enjoy both of them, not combine them and be like, it barely tastes like alcohol, and also it ruins the taste of milkshakes.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. I agree. I like alcohol. I like the taste of alcohol. I like enjoying the alcohol drinks that I consume. I also like a lot of other beverages, and I want to enjoy that. Like, I would never mix Diet Coke with anything.
I don't even...
Because I love
it. If I'm going to have a cherry Coke, I'm going to have a cherry Coke at the movies, like a fountain drink. Diet cherry Coke. Like, what are we doing?
No.
Do they even make that? I couldn't tell you.
I have no idea.
But we'll get into it. I'm sure you've loved our soda banter.
We contain multitudes.
These are the little things that get us through the day. And that sort of ties into the movie that we're doing. We're kicking off this month's theme, which is haunted houses. And recently, I think we realized, like, we hadn't done a haunted house movie in a while.
What would be the haunted house movies that we've done, now that I'm trying to think about, like, when was the house the problem?
Well, I would say Hell House, for sure. That was a big problem. It was a hotel, but that was a problem. And then I don't know if, in my mind, The House of the Devil, now, it wasn't the house's fault, but it was very much a house-centric horror.
I feel like Sinister is, like...
Yes, okay.
Close? Yes. It's, like, more, like, real estate than it is just a specific house. But there's, like, isn't it, like, the houses that people move into become the thing? So I do think that there's something
that
very housey about Sinister.
And see, Poltergeist. Like, yes, technically she could have gotten that Poltergeist somewhere else. But it was because that, you know, the development was built over, of course, a desecrated Native American grave site. So they kind of got what was coming to them, if you recall that film.
And Sabrina, our producer, suggested also The Night House.
Oh, my God, yes.
The Night House, great film. And then Cabin in the Woods, which I guess would also qualify.
I don't know if I would consider in my mind, Cabin in the Woods, is they're playing on, like, a slasher film. Like, the house is not haunted at all.
Yeah, it just happens to be.
But I'll take it. I'll take it under advisement. And The Night House, it's funny because, like, it's sort of like he was essentially building a haunted house. You know what I mean? Like, they had their house, and then The Night House was, like, he was building this other house that
I
was
still
for bad.
Think about that movie, which I didn't even see. You just told me about it, but I did see a clip in the trailer, which we definitely talk about in the film, which is when she sees the other house and that she sees that the address is the numbers backwards. That's a chilling moment.
It's just like a perfect movie in which it's sort of like. To me, a lot of compelling supernatural films rely on a sense of reality that's close to, like, a fairy tale.
Yes.
Where you're like, it's close enough where you're like, I feel like this is hitting some part of my brain that this feels familiar. And that, I feel like Night House did a really good job of that. And if you are a Patreon subscriber, for the month of September, we are doing... Rebecca Hall, star of The Night House. We're doing her latest film, Resurrection. It's available on streaming, and so if you are a horror fan, please go out and watch that one before listening to the episode. And if not, we got you covered because it's pretty weird and grisly. And again, phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Great film.
I just want to see this woman be terrorized. Couldn't recommend it higher. Speaking of being terrorized, let us begin. We are doing a oft-requested movie, and then
it's
Paranormal Activity.
Yes.
I don't know how we've not done it so far, honestly.
I think that this was going to be part of the 2 months of found footage month, but we, like, had so many other movies that, like, really fall into that category and no other category, and... We were like, we have to get through these. That, like, we didn't have time. We did 2 months of that theme and still didn't do this movie, which says a lot about how important that subgenre is to horror.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. And I had seen this movie before, and watching it again for the film, what an absolute treat. Really enjoyed it. And I just want to shout out to, so the director is named Oren Peli. And I believe it's a he. Yes, he directed the film for under $12,000.
Wow.
Wikipedia says $15,000, but still, that's pretty good. And then, of course, it was purchased. And so post-production was $215,000 And that's, I think, Universal, once Universal snapped it up. And so, yeah. Oh, sorry, Paramount. Paramount Pictures and Blumhouse did Paranormal Activity. And apparently one of the trivia about them is that they shot this low-budget movie. And then when Paramount acquired it, they were thinking of potentially reshooting it with, like, a higher budget. I'm assuming maybe a famous person. Having released it, so that's the production cost, really low. And then the box office was $193.4 million. Ooh. And that is a testament to horror as a genre. You give somebody $15,000, they could really make something. And I can't think of
another genre that can do that. Like, you couldn't make a $15,000 rom-com and have it do those kinds of box office numbers.
No, I'm sure people are desperately trying to do that. Like, if somebody were to pull it off, my God.
That would be a dream.
Speaking of rom-coms, and I don't know if I've talked about this movie before, but I recently rewatched the movie I Want You Back, starring Jenny Slate and Charlie Day.
Oh, I haven't
Jenny
watched it
Slate
yet.
Jenny Slate and Charlie Day are our Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, and people need to understand this and just put them in as many rom-coms as possible.
Yeah.
They're so charming together. They have great chemistry. Yeah. You're rooting for them. They, you know what I mean? The everyman, every woman.
Sure.
They were perfect in this movie. Yes. And I again, if you're a rom-com person, I highly recommend.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I really need to. I keep meaning to, and then I forget, and then I don't know what streaming service it's on, and then I just watch Seinfeld again.
And even I say this, I want to say Prime, but I couldn't tell
you. I think it was
Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who could know?
No, certainly not us. Please don't ask us. but yeah, so we always like to have Allison react to the trailer. What are your thoughts about the trailer for Paranormal Activity?
So the trailer I watched is, like, more modern in the sense of, like, it gives the story of, like, the people who came to see the screening of the film.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it's showing, like, moments of the film, but, like, it's also showing night vision reaction shots of the audience who are, like, losing their minds. And it's obviously a testament to how scary this movie is. And, I mean, like, I've seen a lot of it. Like, I feel like I know a lot. If you showed me, like, a still from this movie, I'd be like, that's from the first Paranormal Activity. Like, I would know that because it's, like, pretty iconic at this point. But very scary. And I have to ask, as I do during all of found footage style movies, this isn't based on reality, right?
No, it sure isn't. Okay. It is. Fortunately, this hasn't happened in real life yet. We just don't know. And, yeah, this was, as far as I know, an original idea. And it's an example of, like, someone could make this movie sort of similar to Hell House, where I think it's, like, this is a very simple idea, and someone could have made a terrible version of this. Yes. But I will say it's very well directed, and, the scares are really well put together in a way that leverages, again, its simplicity. It's a lot of bumps and thumps in the night. And you...
Nothing is scarier.
And I'll talk about the acting, because I feel like the acting... all actors have limitations, and I feel like Paranormal Activity really plays well into the strengths of these actors. And are they perhaps some weaknesses? Yes, but they don't matter because they are there to be your stand-in and being terrified, if that makes sense.
Yes, so, that does make sense.
And then, of course, we always like take a baseline scary. And Allison, I'm just going to go broad with it. How scary do you find the concept of Paranormal Activity?
Very, but, like, what I find scary about it is, like, the smallness of it. Like, in the, like, when I think about, like, it's hard not to think about this movie when you say that phrase now, just because it's, like, so inextricably linked. But I think, like, there's something deeply scary about, like, a little thing, a door closing that you didn't close. Like, finding something in the middle of a room that wasn't there when you left it and no one else has been in that room. Like, that stuff is so, so scary. Do I think that, like, the paranormal plane exists? No. But I think that, like, the evidence that it does, quote unquote, in film is a very scary, scary thing to watch. Like, just the little, like, not like a giant ghost, like, flies through a bedroom and, like, murders you, but, like, you see just kind of, like, something move a little bit that, like, can only be explained by something else.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I agree with that. I also do not believe in the paranormal, but it doesn't mean I wouldn't be scared if a bunch of stuff was thumping around at night in my house. Like, I'm not an idiot, you know? But there is something, I can't remember who had this joke, but it's like, isn't it funny that when on those ghost hunter shows, they find a ghost 100% of the time? And this is this too, it's like, this is convenient that, you know, there's this very cinematic ghost haunting these people. And it's obviously framed like it is a real story. Of it course. Is not. But also, I just, in terms of the paranormal, I just feel like we would have concrete evidence at this point. You know
at
what I mean?
This at this point, I feel like we have the technology.
Yeah.
That we could have sorted out a definitive yes or no. And because we have not figured out yes, then the answer is no.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Listen, I'd be happy to be wrong, I guess. I don't know.
I hope we're right.
I know. I'm like, great, we find out there's demons and, like, dead people trapped in some sort of liminal plane. Yeah, I don't want that.
No.
Anywho, before we get started, based on what you know from pop culture and, of course, the trailer, Allison, would you like to guess the twist in Paranormal Activity?
Guess the twist.
I'm going to guess... Since we know the problem is house, or we're presenting the problem as house because it's in this month.
I was going to say, do we know anything?
We don't know anything. I am going to guess that someone died in the house and is haunting it, and that person is somehow connected, like through like generational family crap, to one of the people who lives there. The woman, I feel like the woman is like the one being more haunted, and the boyfriend is, you know, not believing her.
I mean, I would say it is a tale as old as time that somebody is not believed. And let us begin by ruining Paranormal Activity. We open with, and you know, if you've seen this movie, you know what I'm going to say. My favorite thing in the world, text on the screen. It says, Paramount Pictures would like to thank the families of Michael Sloat and Katie Featherston, and the San Diego Police Department. It's found footage, baby.
Oh, baby.
Also, it's like, so that implies the police turned over the footage of this, which is like, why
to
would
Paramount?
Why would like, they do that? I don't know.
Just
whatever.
To make a move. You're like, why I understand we're living anything? In a fake world within this, but still.
Yeah. So we find ourselves, and it's such a 90s looking. Do you remember that style in like the 90s where it looks like you're inside an Olive Garden? Like, every wall is, like, yellow, beige. It's got, like, brown, like,
Everything's, like Tuscan.
Yes, it's very
inspired.
Tuscan.
Inspired.
Yeah, like, wrought iron, brown accents, which, like, not for me. However. Not for me,
but I know what you're talking about. Exactly.
So we have a young couple, and they are clearly doing very well for themselves. I've never been to San Diego, but this is a gorgeous, like, you know, two-level house. It's a beautiful block. They have a pool in the backyard. And we see one of our characters, Katie, is pulling up to the house, and she drives a convertible. And I'm like, that's all I need to know. They're doing all right for themselves.
A convertible in the 90s or 2000s is so indicative of success.
And luckily, this is the kind of movie where we're getting updates on the, you know, each day it is appearing on the screen. So we are opening on San Diego, California, September 18th, 2006.
Great.
Which is also like a tough fashion, you know, like everything kind of was looking
mid-aughts bad. Mid-aughts is a disaster.
And apparently it's on the way back. I saw a young person, and granted, I was watching YouTube Shorts, which is not for young people. It's for people like me who can't handle having access to TikTok because it'll ruin my life.
Yes.
I'll spend too much time on it. They said, here's some things that are coming back. Shrugs.
No.
And then tube tops with maxi skirts, which is like, to me, I mean, that's 2003. I mean,
it's back. That is the summer after I graduated from college. Like, just, that was, like, chic.
It's only a matter of time before gaucho pants are back, and then my God.
No, it's all over. It's a slippery slope.
So we see Micah, who is the boyfriend. He's filming everything. He just got a brand new camera. And what's interesting is, so Katie arrives home, and she's like, oh, my God, he just got this beautiful new camera. How much was it? And it's like, clearly it doesn't matter because you guys are living large. And Micah says, we're going to need a good camera to film whatever paranormal activity is going on or not going on. So we're starting, in media rest? Like, we are starting, yes. They already know there's paranormal activity. We are seeing this because Micah got a brand new camera to film it.
I appreciate
to get evidence.
That.
Exactly. Yeah, we get it. Drop us in, you know?
We came in for this reason and this reason only, so let's get to it.
And so the paranormal activity seems to be centered around Katie. And there's a lot of thumps and walking around. And Mike is like, maybe it's ghosts. Maybe it's the neighborhood kids are peeping on you, you know. Who wouldn't be obsessed with you?
Okay.
And Katie says, well, unless they've been obsessed with me since I was 8 years old, it's not the neighbors. So we're establishing Kate. This is not something that has happened recently. It's restarted recently. But Katie, as a child, this is her experience. Also, I'm so sorry. I forgot to make this note at the beginning. It is not Micah, even though it is spelled Micah. It is Mika. So it is Mika and Katie. So I apologize to the Mikas out there. And Katie says to Mika, you believe me, right? Like, you believe I'm experiencing this. And he does. He's like, I don't know what's causing it, but I believe that you're having this experience. So he's really hot on what can we do to sort of solicit the activity, to get it thumping and bumping, to get what sounds like whispered voices. And Katie's like, I do not want to provoke it. I experienced this as a child, and it was really scary, and now it's back. The last thing I want to do is try to communicate with it or ask it anything or enrage it. It's like, well, of course, we're 10 minutes into a horror movie. We know you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. We also see Katie is, she's very crafty. We see her, like, knitting and making jewelry. Mika's playing his guitar, just sort of normal, everyday stuff. They hear this loud thud suddenly. Allison, it's just the ice maker.
Okay.
Whew. Also, much like in, I'm trying to think, what was it, VHS? It was sort of like when a guy who has a camera and is like constantly trying to get his girlfriend to like take off her clothes. And he's like, ooh, you look real good. Can I get a strip tease? Maybe just bra and panties, something crazy. And then he's filming her feet and he's like, you got sexy feet. It's like, okay, we get it.
Relax.
You know, like, yeah, calm down, dude. So they've been hearing footsteps at night. So they set up the camera at night, pointed at their bed, and right next to their bed is the open door to the hallway. And Allison, I gotta ask, do you sleep with your bedroom door open?
I sleep with it closed in the summer because I turn off my AC in my living room and then just like only blast cold air into my bedroom to try and not be in debt to Con Ed. I would say that unless someone is sleeping on my couch and it's not like a temperature thing, like most of the year I sleep with my bedroom door open.
That's fascinating. I am a bedroom door closed specifically person. I need to have the door there. And I think it's like I would have it open in order to be cool, like to get a cross breeze.
Right.
But temperature allowing, I'm closing the door every
time. Yeah, my last apartment, the bedroom was so small that, like, I kept it open all the time just because, like, it got a little, like, suffocating feeling.
Yeah.
And then here, like, I actually have a very big apartment, but, like, I'm just I'm, like, a big apartment for New York City.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm alone. Like, it doesn't really.
Yeah.
Where are the boundaries of space? Like.
Or are you okay, alone, Allison? So that night, they're filming at 2:08 a.m. We hear footsteps running down the hall and the sound of keys hitting the floor. In the morning, Katie and Mika get up. Katie finds her keys, which she had left on the counter in the middle of the floor.
See?
And Mika's like, oh, my God, incontrovertible proof that evil forces from beyond the grave are at our home, like making fun of her. And she's like, okay, I know it's not a big thing, but, like, that is strange, right?
But that is strange.
Yeah. And then we also see Katie sometimes has the camera, and she says, how excited are you that the psychic is coming over today? And Mika's like, the doctor's coming over, but the doctor's a psychic. And he sort of plays some dramatic, like, you know, like The Exorcist horror movie from his computer. He's like, oh, this will make him feel more at home.
Okay.
So they've invited over the psychic. His name is Dr. Fredericks, and he's running late, which Mika thinks is very funny. It's like, wouldn't he be able to, like, tell there was going to be traffic? Like, wouldn't he know that? And the doctor arrives, and he asks them about their lives. Katie's in graduate school to become a teacher. Mika is a day trader, who I'm assuming is, like, doing very well for himself. And Dr. Frederick says, like, most cases of what feels like haunting are just very normal stimulus that people in distress, like, going through a lot of hard stuff, sort of, mm-hmm. it takes on a different meaning. So most of the times I come to investigate it, it turns out it's not anything supernatural, but the people who are experiencing it are going through something very distressing. Mm-hmm. So that's what I just want to tell you. I'm here to just be an objective observer, you know. And Katie tells him that her haunting began when she was 8 and her younger sister was 5.
I would feel the breathing wake me up, and I would wake her up, and I would see the figure that would be at the foot of my bed. And it was always at the foot of my bed. It was never at the foot of her bed, but she did see it.
And she'd be able to hear and see, like, the breathing. So she'd be able to feel breath on her body.
No.
And as well as see the figure, and it was terrifying. And then that house was destroyed in a horrible fire. Luckily, okay. her family all survived, but they lost everything, every childhood photo, everything. Ugh. But then when they moved into their new home, she didn't experience it anymore. So she kind of was like, I guess I had this experience, but like it was just that house. Unfortunately, it seems like it's back. Mm. And Dr. Frederick says, did they ever determine what caused the fire? And Katie's like, they actually didn't. Like, they weren't able to be like, was it an electrical fire? It didn't look like arson or anything like that. But, like, they have no idea what started it. Mm. So throughout her life, Katie has had, she's trying to describe, okay. like, what her experience was, where it's, like, lights flickering, scratching sounds. And then in the house now, same thing. Sounds, footsteps, faucets just turn on. And a voice saying Katie's name in her ear. And Dr. Fredericks asks Mika, like, have you heard this voice, you know, saying Katie? And he's like, I haven't, but I've certainly heard thumps around the house. Like, that's absolutely happening. And this doctor says, my focus is ghosts and people communicating with them. I think you have a demon, which, of course, is non-human. Dealing with demons is not my area of expertise, and you cannot run away from this. So I'm going to refer you, but, like, I don't think it's a ghost. Which to me is like a lot to lay on people. Like I say, that's a third yeah. visit type of drop of information.
Yeah. Yes.
And also, he doesn't explain like, well, why does that make sense? Like, what about what they're describing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a demon. Because me, I'm like, this is all typical. What we think of as typical ghost stuff. You know.
Right.
But he gives them the name of a demonologist. Thank God, a demonologist living in Los Angeles. That makes
Obviously.
Total sense.
I mean.
Named Dr. Johann Averys. And
that's a real demonologist name.
Yeah. I mean, his real name is Bill Smith, but he had to, like, dress it up a little bit for the
yeah,
demonology community. Right. He's also a magician on the weekends. And he's like, just give him a call. He can help you. And Mika's really hot at the idea of, like, oh, could we use a Ouija board to summon the demon? And the doctor says, absolutely fucking not. Like, if it's attached to your girlfriend, it wants her. So it's like, right. do not try to talk to it or communicate
no.
with it.
No.
Because what are you going to find out? We already know what it is. It's
right.
it's something is happening
something.
To with her. Which is also disappointing because it's like, he's like, okay, so bye. And it's like, all right, well, thanks for telling me there's a demon here.
Didn't really fix anything. If anything, just kind of made it worse.
Yeah, we have to live here. And you're saying if we went somewhere else, it wouldn't resolve it. And I think that's part of what's scary about this. Is that, like, you could go to a hotel. It's going to come with you to the hotel because it's not attached to the house.
Sure.
And that's a lot of haunted house movies you find out. It's not really.
Right. It's not the house. It's
yeah.
kind of other stuff going on. But
yeah. However, Allison, Katie says, you know, they're getting ready for bed. Like, I'm going to call Dr. Johann the next, you know, tomorrow. And Mika's like, don't do it. That psychic was such a quack. Like, and demons, you really believe in that? It's like you're hearing thumps. And stop moving around. Call the fucking demonologist. Don't be stupid.
I mean, give it a whirl.
Yeah.
At the very least. Hear him out.
And then he also does this thing where, like, he puts the camera down and they starts to, like, initiate sex. And then Katie says, I could tell the camera's on. So he was going to record them having sex with, like, without her knowing.
She needs to, like, leave him.
I know. I was like, I know what's going to happen, but, like, I think to me that's like I'd rather live in the house with a demon than somebody who would do that.
Than somebody
that's
who tries to
up.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think a crime.
I think it is now. Yeah, exactly. Someone recording you having sex without your knowledge in California. I'm sure it is.
Yes.
And also, but, like, she laughs about it in a way where it's like, I guess 2006 was the tail end of being like, oh, you, and what they're talking about is, like, a crime, you know what I mean, or, like,
yeah,
assault
yeah, yeah.
or
that
something.
Yeah, kind of the end of...
Yeah, the denouement of rampant sexual harassment
rape
and...
Rape culture being acceptable,
yes,
I
rape
guess,
culture,
is
yeah.
what we really
Truly.
Doing.
So night three, and we keep seeing, like, the different nights as we count
I do
down.
Love,
night three.
I do love, like, just clear...
Yes.
Lower third or Chiron explanations of when and where we are at all times.
And also the idea of, like, there's some editor at Paramount Pictures putting this together and, like, be like, well, we need to have
footage.
Some... Yeah, it's very funny. So same time that night, 2:08, we hear rattling and the door of the bedroom half closes on its own but then opens again. In the morning, they check the footage and they see the door move, but again are like, what, you know, is that... That's not going to be enough to, like, prove this is real. And so Mika is fixated on luring out the ghost. But again, it's not a ghost. So it's like, why would you want to lure a
right.
demon into your house?
Right.
We hear Katie screaming from the other room. Mika runs in. It's just a spider. And the one nice thing that Mika does do, it doesn't redeem him, obviously, but he does pick up the spider and take it outside, which I'm like, you never kill a spider. I mean, if it's a poisonous spider, you do what you got to do. But
yes.
Just a regular spider, you just go out and dump it in the yard.
Right.
So Mika starts delving into reading about demons and ghosts and paranormal activities. And Katie says to him, like...
Yeah, it's definitely not human.
Maybe you're right, which is bad, because demons suck. Basically, they're these malevolent, evil spirits that only exist to cause pain. They stalk people for years, like decades.
Decades?
And it's like, what the fuck are you supposed to do? Like, horrifying. Even decades. Just to get a bad night's sleep, I would just, like, ruin my life, you know?
No, of course.
Katie is starting to get concerned, and we're only on night four, basically. It's like... She's concerned that filming the entity and even doing this research is going to make the demon mad.
I share her concern.
Yeah. Mika says, like, Katie, I mean, I'm going to be honest, like, you didn't tell me about this before we moved in together. So, like, I think I get a say in what we do in the house. Now, no. That's stupid and rude, but also I do think Katie should have told him before they moved in.
I think before moving in with somebody, like, you need to disclose, like, hey, I know we're about to level up this relationship. I just got to come clean. Something haunts me in the night. And that's just kind of been around forever. And it's just kind of like my thing.
Yeah, I think I agree. To be fair, it didn't seem like when they were dating, it was a problem. So it's like maybe she was like, maybe it won't be come back or you know what I mean? Like, because it doesn't seem like she's been dealing with this all the entire time. You know, it's just sort of like it comes intermittently. So night five, Katie wakes up. She's gasping from a nightmare, waking up Mika. Suddenly they hear a slamming sound, and he grabs the camera before sort of descending the stairs. They check it out. The coast is clear. They go to bed. In the morning, Katie is sort of more reserved and sort of, you know, starting to get really freaked out by it.
Yes.
And her friend Amber comes over. They're, like, making jewelry together. Obviously. And Mika immediately barges in to show them, like, this audio recording he captured in the bedroom. And it's of a voice speaking. And it's not a recognizable human language, but you could tell that there is a voice speaking. Mm-hmm. And Mika's like, let me get out the Ouija board.
Obvious. Of course.
And both Katie and Amber shoot down this idea. And they're like, again, the psychic specifically said, don't try to communicate with it. Why would we do that?
Yes. And, like, even though I'm not going to immediately be like, oh, the psychic is right about it. It's like... If they tell you not to do something, it seems like valid advice to follow.
100%. So we cut to, it is night 13. It's days later. And Mika is kind of like mad that there's been like days of no evidence. And he even says to her like, oh, your demon is worthless. And it's like, you do not understand the gravity of what's fucking going on. If you're mad that you haven't been able to gather evidence for like a week, you should thank God this thing is not terrorizing you.
Right, it's like, what
yet,
a relief.
You know? Unfortunately, that night they go to bed. They wake up. Katie has heard a thud. That's what wakes her up. And we hear a terrifying shriek. And they both scream. And Allison, they do something I would not do. And they run downstairs to check it out when they've heard a terrifying inhuman scream rip through the house.
Especially an inhuman one. Like, there are certain screams where I'm like, oh, somebody might be in distress. Like, maybe I can help, even though I can't and I won't. an inhuman shriek, like, no. I'm going whatever the opposite direction is of that sound, that's where I'm headed.
Absolutely. Especially knowing what they know. You know what I mean? It's not like you're, like, having a totally normal life and you hear a scream and you want to go check it out. Totally, that makes sense. And they run downstairs, but they see this chandelier, which again is like that smooth glass, like a big chandelier, like you'd see at, say, a Cheesecake Factory. You know what I mean? And it's swaying back and forth as if something has just bumped into it.
No.
The next day, Katie's like, it scares me that you don't seem like you're taking this seriously. And it makes me really concerned. I'm afraid recording this is just like making it mad. And Mika's like, what am I going to do, not film it and get all this cool, I mean, all this very interesting, fascinating shit? No way. Like, he's obviously just there. He's, like, really into it.
This guy.
And she says, I'll be honest, it seems like it started to get worse when the camera showed up, so, like, I don't want to aggravate it. And he's like, no, there's no way it's the camera. There's no way Mika could know that, but okay. And he does a sound test in the bedroom to try to capture the voice again. When he listens to the recording, there's sort of a low growling noise. Cool. Okay. Allison, night 15. Katie stands up out of bed, we see on the camera, and then turns and stares at the sleeping Mika, just standing stock still for hours. And we see, like, the recording, like, the numbers like time, rack up.
Yeah.
So it's, like, 1:15 to 3:15. She's standing staring at him in the dark before wandering out of the room and going downstairs. Mm-mm. Mika wakes up to find Katie gone. And, of course, he grabs the camera to film. And eventually he goes downstairs and he finds the back door patio standing open. Allison, what would you do?
What would you do?
What would you do?
The answer for both of them is break up. Yes. I just don't think that, like, either of them should. Like, Mika seems like he fucking sucks.
Yes.
But also, Katie's got a lot of stuff going on that I wouldn't want to be involved with if I were her partner.
Yeah.
So I guess first split up and move out and move into individual living situations. I would get a third party that's not a psychic or a demonologist in the mix. Like,
yeah,
I'm finding a physicist. I'm finding,
ooh, okay,
you know, like somebody who studies like electromagnetic activity, like things that, like, obviously now she's like being strange, so it's like, let's bring a psychologist and, like, let's get professionals who went to school for things,
yes,
to start weighing in, and like perhaps a third party besides them to be awake all night so they don't just have the footage. Perhaps somebody could like stay awake in the home.
Yeah, I feel like I think they do a good job making it feel very claustrophobic, like this is like a personal problem with our house. But in reality, yes, it's like Poltergeist. You would talk to a psychic, but he would also talk to the paranormal documentarian who comes in, yes, you know, like,
right,
yeah, like Sinister. You'd be calling up Vincent D'Onofrio, who's the, yes, professor in demonology again. Like, you'd be doing everything you could to research this. And I think what I find so compelling about this, other than like the scares and like the experience is very well crafted, is they are just two dumbasses who are, yeah, just like, I don't know, like I Googled it and this is what I think and I'm really sticking to it. In a way that it's like, yeah, a lot of people would approach it like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people would feel a level of confidence. I think we talked about this, but like, you know, Kesha has a paranormal show on Discovery Plus called Conjuring, yeah, Kesha. And
I did not
the
know that.
First episode I saw, she and Whitney Cummings go to an abandoned prison where they, of course, make contact with a ghost who appears to be trans based on Whitney Cummings' experience. Oh, they also meet up with a Catholic ghost expert. He's not, sure, a priest. So I'm like, who decided that you were like the authority? I guess he did.
Yeah. I think in those realms, like, you get to just be like, I'm the expert, and everybody's
right, I guess,
like,
if you're the only one, right, or like one of five, there, right, must be so much like jockeying for like who gets
for
to be like
number one
of the four. Yeah, yeah. So, but in that show, they're like, oh my God, there's so much bad energy. Like, there's these evil entities. Like, there's so much sadness here. It's like, it's an abandoned prison.
Right.
Why would you go there? If you believe also, in ghosts, then, right, why would you ever go to a place like that? Of
also,
course,
you
it's
don't
full
need
of horror.
Ghosts to like experience trauma, yes, from the past in a place that is filled with,
yeah,
horrific traumas and like, that's not ghosts. That's also just like human, yeah, history.
Right. When people were like, well, you go to a place where something bad happens, you could feel how bad it was. It's like, or you know how bad,
right,
this thing was and you were experiencing
and being
that
there is a
emotionally,
different,
yeah,
yes,
like,
that,
yeah,
has
you
nothing
are
to do with ghosts.
I agree. And also, and I think fundamentally, we've talked about this, but fundamentally what I don't like about that idea is like, I don't want to believe in a universe in which ghosts exist, that ghosts of any kind, of anyone who died, would have to be trapped somewhere or,
right,
experiencing pain beyond death or... that just sucks. I don't want to believe in that.
It sucks.
Also, no, it's not real. But beyond,
right,
not factually being real, I just don't like the idea of, like, that would be horrible. That's horrible,
yeah,
to think about. Being alive is hard. And then you have to be stuck there in death and like a,
right,
prison. I don't
after
know, you know,
already having trauma. It's just, no.
And don't get me started on the prison system. You know what I mean? Like, my God. Anywho, don't go to an abandoned prison and try to summon a ghost.
No.
And in this movie, please, for the love of God, Mika, take this seriously.
Take this seriously.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
So, of course, he's taking it seriously now because Katie has gone rogue and has left the house and is outside. So he follows her. Again, always has the camera. And he finds her sleepwalking. And she's sitting in the patio swing and her eyes are open and she's sort of responsive, but like really in and out of it. And she refuses to go inside and tells him to leave, to go away. And she's sort of staring into the middle distance. And he goes to get a blanket. Again, that was nice of him. Okay. And while he's upstairs, he hears a slam. And then the TV in the bedroom turns on and it's just static. And he turns to call to Katie to be like, was that you? Is that the slam? And she's standing right there. Mm-mm. Now awake and confused, but like really sleepy. She's like, oh, sorry. Are you up too? And just gets in the bed. He's like, what was happening? Were you sleepwalking? Like, why were you so disoriented? And she's like, what? Has no memory of it.
Oh, boy.
In the morning, they review the footage. She's like, I have no memory of getting up. I have no memory of opening the door. I have no memory of being outside. I literally fell asleep, and then I came to, woke up, standing in the bedroom talking to you, being like, oh, what the hell's going on? Katie is extremely reasonably freaked out. However, she has not called the demonologist yet because Mika is so down on the idea. And I'm giving Mika the benefit of the doubt here because he's like, oh, you know, that's going to make it worse. But the reality is it's like, I think he just wants to like, I want proof and I want to be like famous or like, I want to be, this is like a fun adventure for me. And Katie is not experiencing that way. So like now we're seeing like, this is the division of like, she's clearly really fucked up about this. And he doesn't want to call somebody because he's like, I want to get the footage. I want to get that. He's not saying that, but that's what we see. And instead of calling the demonologist, which they absolutely should do, Allison, what does this fucking dumbass do? That's right. He busts out a Ouija board. Not only that, he busts out...
You were told not to communicate with it.
By Katie, your partner, begged you not to do it. And then the psychic who you contacted about this said, do not use it. It is... You do not want to contact this entity. Allison, and that is if that's bad enough. Mika gets on the Ouija board and he gets it out. They are clearly about to leave in 10 minutes to go on like a date night. Katie is dressed up. She's even saying like, oh yeah, we'll go here, blah, 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 blah. She comes into the living room and he's setting up the Ouija board. If someone was setting up Monopoly 10 minutes before game night, like date night, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, you know, pissed. We're leaving.
Right.
Like we've been getting ready. What are you, why would
what
we
are
play
you
this
doing?
Right now?
Now? Like, yeah. The timing is wrong. Everything's wrong.
She's like, fuck that. Put that away. We've already talked about this a million times. And Mika says, well, technically, I promised that I wouldn't buy a Ouija board. I borrow this one. That, to me, I'm leaving.
I'm out of here. You're on your own. Goodbye.
Fuck that. Goodbye. I can deal with this alone. Yeah, it's like, dealing with this is hard enough, and now I got to deal with this
on top
of it?
No.
And so she's like, I'm not doing that. He leaves it out. She's like, I'm leaving. So if you are coming with me, then we're going right now. And if you want to stay and play with that, then go for it. But of course, he's like, I'm sorry. And he goes with her, you know, out for the evening. However, he has still set up the camera so that we see in their absence, the planchette start to move on the Ouija board. And it's moving around, spelling something, but we can't make it out from our angle.
Right.
Allison, the Ouija board suddenly bursts into flames. Again, you hate to see it.
You hate to see it.
They come home, and Katie sees it and sees the Ouija board's all burned up. And she assumes this is some sort of weird prank. this is, you're doing this to freak me out. She's like, Mika, you did this.
He it would be hard not to feel that way as yes. her because he's been so dismissive of everything and, like, thinks that it's all, like, a dumb joke. That, like, anything that happens would become, you know, the way we've talked about pranks in other movies where it's, yeah. like, it's sand, shifting sands underneath, like, your reality. It's like, well, now everything feels plausible, but also, yes. like...
And then, so we see, like, he looks at, like, he films the actual Ouija board, and there's sort of, like, the flame has left, like, a drawing on the board, and sure. it's, and he's, like, sort of investigating, like, they're both getting ready for bed, and Katie's like, fuck that, do not read that to me, don't try to, like, decipher that, I'm not interacting with that, and I'm not sleeping next to you if you are gonna fuck around with that thing. And so she kicks him out of the bedroom, and, like, he's like, you can sleep downstairs with the Ouija board if you want. And later he's like, what do I have to do to get you to not be mad at me? Stop trying to contact a demon with a Ouija board.
Yeah.
That seems very basic. I don't even believe in demons or Ouija boards.
But I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it. And if my partner was doing it, I'd be like, we have to have a especially talk about what you're doing in the house.
Specifically not
right.
to.
Right, it's like if I'm allergic to cigarettes and somebody insists on smoking in my house, right. that's just disrespectful.
Right.
And that's not
exactly.
even summoning a demon into
yes.
our house, you know?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So in order to sort of, like, reestablish trust, Katie has Mika give, like, a pledge to camera, like, I will follow Katie's rules of camera use. I will, you know, only do what, film what she wants me to film. I will not betray her trust. I will not use the Ouija board, and I will not provoke the entity. And it's like, well, I'm sorry. We're in the middle of a horror movie. It's far too late for that now.
Yes.
So that night, neither of them could sleep. Honestly, it's like we're 2 weeks in at this point. I wouldn't be able to sleep at all. And I'd be so upset, you know, because of that alone.
Yeah.
So they can't sleep. So Mika tries to tell her, like, well, on the Ouija board, you could kind of see, like, where the... And she's like, I don't want to hear about it. Please.
Yeah.
However, the next day, Mika, he does some research online, and he's trying to decipher... Like, he could tell the letters that the planchette moved to. However, mm-hmm. he doesn't know the order. So he's trying to Google okay. names, and he's like, do you know, like, an Adina or a Diane? And she's like, no. And if a demon's telling me about them, I don't want to get them involved.
I don't
want to
know who they are at all.
Yeah. But she's like, no, I don't know an Adina or a Diane. And you would know if you know an Adina or a Diane.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you look, Diane's couldn't be more like Diane. You know,
right. And if you know an Adina, you're not going to forget you know right. an Adina. And she's like, I don't know them. And again, I need you to get the Ouija board out of the fucking house.
Yes.
Amber stops by, and as a good friend, it's like, hey, do you want to come stay at my place? Like, I don't really know what's going on here, but, like, would that be helpful? But Katie says, it's not the house. Like, I had this happen before. I moved to a new house. It didn't happen, and now we moved into this house. It's connected to me in some way. Mm. Eventually, Katie allows Mika to run an experiment, but in exchange, she's going to allowed to call the demonologist. They come to an agreement, okay. and, you know, every relationship is about compromises.
Compromise.
And so basically, and another thing that Mika does, and you know, again, what they're setting up with this, like being the character in a horror movie who does this, he's like, just chill out. Like, at one point after, like, they're having this conversation about, like, he gets to run the experiment, she gets to call the demonologist, he says, chill out, pop a pill. And I'm like, bitch, that demon's gonna
Shut
pop your fucking head
fuck
off your body. You are in. What are you talking? If you believe in this remotely,
right?
The idea that she should chillax or whatever, it's like, what are you talking about?
No. Pop a pill also? Like,
pop
go to hell.
Pop a pill. I'll see you in hell, yeah. So, what his experiment is, he's putting baby powder all over the hallway, sort of like on the second floor balcony, the staircase mm-hmm. balcony, and then, you know, sort of all over. And he started telling her, like, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to solve this. You're my girlfriend. This is my house. Like, I'm going to figure this out. And my question is, how?
Right. What?
What do you mean? How would you do it?
What are you talking about?
So, of course, it's night 17. They wake up at 3:15. There are baby powder footsteps, not just footsteps in the baby powder, but they've tracked it into the room. So there are new footprints as if someone has walked through baby powder and into their bedroom. They're, of course, freaking out.
Yes, understandably.
And they realize, wait a minute, the footsteps are into the bedroom, but they're not coming back out. So where do the footsteps originate? They walk down the hallway to the source of the footprints, and they find inside the closet, one of their, like, hallway closets, is the door to the attic. And
okay.
it is a jar.
Of
it's
course it
jar,
is.
It's a jar, Allison.
I thought it was a door. Okay, I'm sorry. That was a dad joke. But, like, of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
And Mika says, I'm going to get the ladder and go up there. And Katie's like, don't do it. Why would you do that? But of course, he takes the camera, which also has a flashlight attached, and he sort of sticks his head up into the attic, and he sees something sticking out of the insulation. Mm-mm. And he goes up there to get it against Katie's against express wishes. She doesn't want any part of this, and he does it anyways. Unfortunately, Allison, he comes back with a burned photo of a little girl.
Come on.
Allison, it's a childhood photo of Katie.
Of course it is. Who else would it be?
And she's like, "That there's no conceivable way that could be there in our attic." Mm-mm. Because, as we recall, all of her stuff was destroyed in that house fire as a child. Let alone, how did it get into the attic of our current
of
home?
This house.
It shouldn't right. exist at all. But
okay.
She's like, in the morning, I am calling the demonologist. And Mika still somehow, inconceivably, is like, I'm in control and I'm making a lot of progress. And luckily, she says enough to say, fuck you. We need a professional in here. Okay, we got to figure this out. Allison, they make the call, and Dr. Johann is out of the country.
Of course he is.
Not
he's
available.
Off doing international demonology.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Winging his way, all the conferences, the international demonology conferences
is
coming
all
up.
Over Central and Eastern Europe right now.
And so they call Dr. Friedrich again, leave him a voice message, and he says, I will come by the next day. So that night, it's night 18. We're on October 5th. And they wake up, of course, to the light going on in the hallway. They hear hard running. Their bedroom door slams shut, and then they hear loud banging coming from the other side. They're, of course, panicking. Mika leaps up and throws the door open. But, of course, there's no one there. They creep down the hallway for the door, only for the door to slam shut behind them and then pop open again. Katie's freaking out. She's like, I don't want to sleep in the bedroom. Now, we know, of course, it doesn't really matter. But she's like, please, let's sleep downstairs.
I feel like downstairs has more stuff going on, though.
Yes. And, oh, exactly. It's like when they go down there, they hear walking. The doors are shutting there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's always someone down there doing stuff. And that's where the Ouija board was. It's just...
Exactly. So eventually he convinces her, just sleep in the bedroom. I'll be here. And somehow he's able to go to sleep. And when he wakes up, she's downstairs on the couch. She's awake. She's exhausted. She's upset. And she's like, I don't know what to do. Like, we can't sleep. We can't even be in our own home. I don't know what to do. So that day, Dr. Fredericks is going to come in the evening. So they order takeout for lunch, and it did look delicious. And they hear a loud thud upstairs. They run up, and there's a photo of them in the hallway. The glass has shattered, and Mika's side is all clawed up. And Mika's like, why is just my side? I know, anyone who knows you, dude. But he's like, why is my side of the photo all fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
And Katie stops, terrified. And says she can feel someone in the hallway with them. Ooh. And it's breathing on her. And we see this great shot of, we see just like her hair move a little bit in the breeze of this breath. And she, of course, freaks out.
Obviously.
And he's like, has anything ever like happened in the daytime like this, even when you were a kid? And Katie tells him, no, it's getting worse. Allison, I gotta ask you, who will survive this film?
Survive.
My guess is that both Katie and Mika die.
Okay.
Because of the, you know, prologue text on screen about how the San Diego Police Department turned over this footage. Mika just seems like the kind of guy who would be like, yeah, here it is. So he's probably gone. And I think Katie it succumbs to the demons that have been haunting her whole life.
And I love the idea that they are both totally fine, and then their families just turn it over. It's just sort of like, yeah, that's kind of a giveaway.
Yeah.
That
these
I guess
two
make more,
don't make it.
Right. And again, it's like, why would your family give this footage to Paramount Pictures? I don't
right.
know. And then what do you think is going to happen to Dr. Fredericks?
I feel like perhaps he gets involved but survives and... Maybe he takes us into I know that there are sequels to this film.
There are.
Or like other installments, rather.
Yes.
So
there
my
are
guess
a lot
is maybe
yeah.
he becomes our constant.
Love it.
Two.
I love it.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
So Dr. Friedrichs arrives and he has the funniest fucking like real reaction to a demon being in someone's house. He walks in and he goes like, and also this guy feels like, I haven't watched the rehearsal. I haven't watched a lot of like Nathan For You. This feels like that kind of actor.
Where yes, it's just sort totally. Of like,
he's not bad, but he's underplaying this so wildly. it's a situation where someone should be like screaming, you know?
And he's like, what does he say?
He comes in, he's like, oh.
This is overpowering.
It's getting worse.
Yes, it certainly doesn't like that I'm here, and I cannot help you.
What?
In fact, I've got to get out of here. This thing is very aggravated, the fact that I'm here.
Wait, everybody calm down. We need your help.
I'm not the person to help you. I think I'm doing more harm than good. And both Katie and even Meeker are like, wait, don't go. Please, you know what I mean. And Katie says, oh, I called Dr. Avery's. He's not available. And Dr. Friedrichs says, oh, yeah, he's out of the country. But, like, he, as if he knew, and it's like, bitch, if you knew that, would you tell them that?
Also, like, do you all, like, know each other? Like, psychics and demonologists?
They're all, like
are
the
they sharing
slack?
A WeWork somewhere? Like, that's, like, why does he yeah. know he's gone?
But he's like, I promise I will help you. Dr. Avery's will be back in the country in a few days. And Mika's like, should we leave the house? Like, what should we be doing in the meantime? And Doctor says, oh, that won't do any good. Mm. And then Allison, he just fucking leaves. And I was like... Damn, it's like
ice cold.
Oh, sorry, no charge. You're gonna die in this house. I gotta go.
Yeah, it's like I'm gonna make it worse. So you're on your own.
Yeah, and of course night falls, and Kay's just sobbing, like just like so defeated. And Mika holds her and like comforts her, and he tells her, "We can take care of this ourselves." I don't know why he thinks that.
That is incorrect.
So things are starting to escalate. It's night 19. It's October 6th. Allison, at night, they're sleeping, and the sheets next to Katie are lifted as if hands are holding them up.
This is in the trailer.
And horrifying. And of course, the hallway lights start flickering on. We hear a tapping sound, and the sound of a low growl wakes Katie up with a start. And she wakes up Mika, and she's like, I can feel him breathing on my face. Like, he's standing right next to me. But Mika, of course, like, he checks the hallway. There's no one there. There's never been anyone there, obviously. And he's like, I can still feel it. He hasn't left. Like, so far we've been having these experiences where, like, something happens and it retreats. She's like, he's still here. Something is wrong. And the next day, Katie sits up in bed in the morning, and she's like, I can feel him watching me. We have to figure something out. Like, it's now it's constant. It's during the day. It's not, like, the pattern is getting
things are
worse.
Changing. Yes.
And of course they watch the video and they see the sheet lift over Katie, which is kind of the first time it's like, oh, this thing is like capable of like moving physical objects.
Yes, yes.
You know, like,
which is a real
yeah.
interesting piece of information to gather.
And so Katie's desperate and Mika's trying to like do some Googling, and he's like, you know, I found this website. I was trying to find something connected to the Adina or Diane connection. And I found this report of this woman who had the exact same experience as you in the 1960s. Like, she, you know, she was sort of having an intermittent demon experience. And Katie says, well, what happened to her? Was she okay? Girl, no, of course not.
No.
And Mika's like, well, based on what I've read, like, they tried to do an exorcism, but he said, in his words, backfired and made it worse. And Katie's like, how did she die? But we don't have an answer to that. So I don't know whether, in that case, what happened to that lady. But needless to say, here's a story that's similar to yours. I got bad news. No, she couldn't resolve it. Nothing good happened, you know? And that evening, Mika is going to Katie, like, I think I have an idea what to do. And Katie just fucking snaps. And she's like, get the fucking camera out of my face.
Yes. Correct.
I'm going through living hell. We both are. Why are you still fucking filming us? Like, this is making it so much worse. And Mika's like, oh my God, chill out already. Let me film you during the worst experience of your life. Like, he's so pouty and stupid or whatever. And she storms upstairs and he yells, okay, go hang out with your friend already. Of course, by the time they go to bed, you know, Katie's sobbing and Mika's comforting her and like, I'm sorry, like, you've done nothing wrong. I swear we're going to figure this out. It's like, nah, man, you're not. You're really not.
You suck.
So the next night, October 6th, in the middle of the night, Allison, Katie gets physically dragged out of bed, screaming and dragged down the stairs while screaming for Mika to help her. And he runs after her, and we don't see it because it's off camera, and they both escape back up to the bedroom, and they hold each other on the floor while Katie, like, screams and sobs. And they go downstairs to sleep, and Katie's like, I can't do this anymore. Like, let's just go. Let's just go. And finally, Mika's like, I will book us a hotel.
Yeah. At least see. Like, I know that she's like, this has followed me, but it's like, but it wasn't a problem in other places for so long. Like, maybe it's like, at least try and go stay somewhere else for a few nights and see also, if it changes.
Even if the demon's there, it's like, well, you can go swimming. You can enjoy, like, a higher room sheets. You know, HBO. You can get some room service. Yeah, like, enjoy yourself, for God's sake.
Take a vacation with the demon if you have to.
But he does say, I'll book the hotel, but also, can I film the thing on your back? And she says, okay. And she lifts up her shirt, and there's a gigantic fucking bite mark on her back. In the morning, Mika goes to Katie and says, okay, I've packed us up. I've booked us the hotel. And she's in bed, you know, sort of, like, depressed.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's go. Let's just go now. Katie is basically catatonic, unresponsive. And he sort of, like, you know, tucks her in and puts her to bed, like, okay, she's exhausted, you know. But then later he wakes her up, like, well, we have to go to the hotel. I already booked it, you know what I mean? And then Katie tells him, I don't want to leave. You know, please stay with me. And Mika's like, where is this coming from? You've been talking about going to leave. And he's like, no, we should stay. It'll be better this way. And he's really upset. I mean, listen, it's hard to cancel a hotel room and not get charged. So he storms out of the room.
You're definitely getting charged.
And he's like, I cannot believe this. And he storms out. And we hear Katie say to herself, in a voice that is both hers and sort of doubled with another voice, which is kind of demonic, she says, I think we'll be okay now. And she smiles. And it's finally the last night. It's night 21. So 3 weeks of hell, October 8th. And in the night, the recording, Katie stands up and stares down at Mika, and we see the sheet separately is pulled off of the bed entirely. And she walks downstairs and then just starts screaming hysterical. So, of course, Mika runs down, and we hear him scream off camera, oh, my God, and both of their screams just cut off. And in the dark, we hear this heavy thudding footsteps up the stairs. And suddenly, in a phenomenal jump scare, to me, I think I saw it in the theater. I mean, I saw it at someone's house. It scared the hell out of me. Suddenly, out of the darkness, Mika's corpse just flies at the camera, knocking it to the ground. And as his body falls out of the way, we see Katie, her tank top soaked in blood, standing in the doorway, just staring into the camera. And we see her kind of get down on all fours like an animal and go over to his body and start, like, sniffing it before crawling over to the camera and peering into it. And she smiles before her face transforms into the face of a demon. And we end with, of course, text on screen, baby. And it says, Mika's body was discovered by police on October 11th. Katie's whereabouts remain unknown. The end.
Wow.
Yeah.
Surprise.
It's a good one. And it's hard to make a movie where one person is just totally doesn't understand the gravity of it the whole time.
Yeah.
But I think they really play it well. Yeah. Like, it's just like, people are constantly getting it over their head in these movies. And this one, I think you believe it. You believe this guy would do this.
Yes. It really does all play.
Yeah.
Like, we know who that guy is. You know that that's what that guy would do in those scenarios.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And then, what are some fatal mistakes you think that, anyone might have made in this film, Allison?
Fatal mistakes.
I would say Mika's every move.
Yeah.
And it seems like, obviously, like, the demon has come back into her life and into her body, it seems, but, like, it seems like once they started filming, things got worse, which is, of course, like, for, that's the movie. But, like,
right.
I do think filming it at all was probably the wrong answer. And, like, maybe it would have, like, chilled out if they had just kind of been, like, letting it go. But then, you know, it feels like every, like, there's not much you could do to, like, prevent what happened.
Yeah.
So Mika should have gotten out of there for his own good.
And I do feel like I wish I could have gotten a little bit of backstory about Mika, because it's like, I guess he's just so confident because he's just young and successful. He's a very successful day trader. He's crushing it.
A young rich guy, like, all right.
So what, I guess
that guy thinks he can, like, take over the world.
Yeah, so maybe that's enough of an explanation, because I was like, why does he think that he could do this? Right. But again, it felt close enough to reality.
Male hubris, yes.
I also feel like Dr. Fredericks is not a great psychic. Like, I understand he was giving them information. And I appreciate that he has professional boundaries, but you got to have more than one person you could refer people to, especially if it's someone who's traveling, you know?
Yeah.
Have two demonologists in your Rolodex, is what I always say. And then finally, where would you place Paranormal Activity on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think that, like, this pulls off that, like, incredible, like, low-budget genius film. Like, I think that this is, like, an 8.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Because it's, like, it builds appropriately, and I think, like, having the doubt and, like, the not taking it seriously from Mika, like, does make it scarier because it, like, you are, like, yeah, maybe this isn't that bad, but, like, it obviously is that bad, and, like, just the things start small and then do get bigger, and, like, the body at the end does sound, like, truly chilling and, like, terrifying. So
it's an incredible jump scare.
Well, where I normally don't think that, like, a ghost or a paranormal film pushes me, like, above a 7, just I do think that, like, this one, because ghosts aren't real, but, like, this one still, this is up there. I think it's an 8.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 7 because I remember seeing this and finding it very scary to watch. And I think this time, obviously, I knew it was happening. But, like, I watched it late at night, and I still had, like, moments of, like, not remembering the whole movie, like, not knowing what was happening, that I think is very – it's just very well done. It's a simple premise, but it's a well-executed one. And to me, that is very – so satisfying. So I'm gonna go with a 7 on that one.
I love it.
Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed this, and please send us your haunted house movie suggestions. We've got some ideas percolating, but we would love to hear which ones you'd like to hear.
Yes.
And –
if you have not yet and you are so inclined, our Patreon is up and running. There is fun stuff in there. We mentioned it earlier that Resurrection is coming this month. We've got bonus movies. We've got, you know, you get your tickets to the live show if you're in the $20 tier, ad-free early episodes. There's a lot of stuff going on. So, like, if you're loving the pod and you want more, go to patreon.com/ruinedpodcast and join us there for more stuff.
And until then, please...
if you would.
Say hi to Mika.
Yeah.
You know.
In the afterlife.
Yeah. In hell. No, and, I'm sure he did his best. His terrible best.
And then...
But please,
keep it spooky.
Bye.
Bye.
Ruined is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, recorded and edited by Kat Iosa.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. cosi.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.